Koreans have some superpower. They can read people's minds because they learn these social skills from a very early age. They're always trying to guess what somebody else is thinking to be courteous and respectful, which can be very pleasant.
Welcome to Growth Notes, presented by InBeat Agency. Each week, we discuss the essentials of D2C marketing, paid growth, and influencer strategies. Hear from consumer marketing industry leaders who provide transformative insights and share innovative advertising tactics that enhance e-commerce success.
All right. So today I'm joined by Brian Crandall, marketing director for Hurom America, one of our clients for a while. And it's a pleasure to be hosting this first podcast of Growth Notes with you, Brian. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I know that you've lived in Korea for quite some time, and Korea is very different when it comes to marketing than North America. And that's the first aspect I really want to explore with you, because how long did you live in Korea?
All of my 20s, so about a decade.
Yeah, so enough to get the cultural understanding. So my first question for you is, what is the difference between Korea and North America when it comes to marketing and consumer behaviors?
You mean like at a high level or more like granular, like tactically
speaking? Yeah, high level.
At a high level. Oh, I don't know. You'd have to talk about the cultural difference.
Yeah, so let's start with the cultural differences. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a shy guy. I guess that's one reason why Korea worked out for me. Everybody's shy there. I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's not considered weird. So people's behavior is just different. They have a lot of formalities that we used to have in places like the US and Canada. Like French, you have formal words and informal words. So maybe it's not as like weird for you. But for me, like speaking English, there's five different ways of saying everything. So part of adapting to Korean culture is, yes, it's learning the language, but it's also learning the customs, when to speak, when not to speak. And it can get as specific as how to hold a cup when you're drinking with somebody older than you. So if I don't know how old you are, I won't assume like either way, but let's say I was with somebody older than me and they were pouring me some soju, I would need to hold two hands instead of one. And if I didn't, it would be considered disrespectful. Another thing is, if someone's older than me, you don't call them by their first name. That's considered disrespectful too. So these are just like rules that people in North America are very unfamiliar with. And that just goes to show just how different. And those are just a few examples, but it's a lot more formal. There's many more reasons to be like timid in social situations. The number one difference, so I'll just talk about America because I don't know much about Canada. The number one difference between American culture and Korean culture is Americans are really good at expressing themselves, expressing their ideas. They're not as good at reading the room, guessing what other people are thinking. Koreans, they almost have some superpower. They can read people's minds because they learn these social skills from a very early age. They're always trying to guess what somebody else is thinking to be courteous and respectful, which can be very pleasant. It's very nice. At other times, it can be stressful, depending on the situation. To understand the difference between marketing over here versus over there, it's very different, but you'd have to understand that social cultural context first.
Which makes sense, because that's where everything stems from and how we behave in society. We're still all humans, so there's similarities, but these cultural differences are highly impactful. I'm curious, like, what were the shopping behaviors you saw when you were there that you clearly don't see here in North America?
Good question. The first thing I think of is their department store experience. Even though they are a very advanced country in terms of integrating digital services into everyday lives, more advanced than North America, I would say. Nevertheless, probably because of the population density in the cities, their department stores are just thriving, which is really nice to see. So their offline shopping experience is really good. Let me give you a specific example. If you go into a store and you buy some pants and they're too long, you can get that fixed right there within an hour. There might be some places around that do that. I'm not sure. But where I'm from, I come from like the Midwest. That's very rare to have that level of service. And things are just changing all the time. Even here in Long Island, it's sad, actually, because I walk into a mall and it just looks okay. It's still alive. But some of these offline stores, retail stores, they're just barely hanging on there. They're just hanging on by a thread. And it's almost like you walk through the mall and you'll see different time periods. Oh, clearly that was from the 90s. Oh, that was from the early 2000s. And it hasn't changed much. And it's not clean and it's not kept up. You walk through a mall in Korea and it seems like almost every week something changed and everything's brand new. Everything's in flux all the time.
Yeah, the mall culture, I've seen it in Thailand as well when I was there in Japan too. The mall culture in these countries is well alive compared to here. It's just a different level of malls. They're thriving. There's rooftop bars and it's a crazy experience. Yeah, so that's very different indeed in terms of how people shop. I know there was like a huge trend, I remember 4 or 5 years ago, where everybody thought that live shopping was going to disrupt America. And I was like, QVC, but online, because in Asia, with the websites like Likee, even Alibaba, they have these live shopping experience there where people are just streaming different products and they're buying. And everybody thought that this was coming to North America, but it didn't. So I'm curious, you've probably seen this firsthand when you go back to visit. What makes live shopping successful in Asia that makes it harder here in North America?
When I was there 5 years ago, my perspective about the live shopping, it was filtered through my Chinese friends who lived over there. It still didn't catch on at the time, but people were speculating that because Koreans, they also use Instagram. And if you remember years back, they were really pushing the live feature. And for a while, they were integrating shopping and it just didn't catch on. So I don't know. It's been a while since I've been really dialed into Korea. I don't know if it's caught on since, but I do know like in China, but they use entirely different platforms over there. And you'll see examples of it. And it's just crazy what they do with live shopping. And it seems every couple of years, there's some new attempt to apply that in North America and some really good attempts. But I feel like it still hasn't caught on. And it's probably related to culture and then the specific businesses and platforms and their agenda that exists within those regions. But yeah, just because one form of shopping thrives in one region, that doesn't mean it's going to be successful in another.
No, makes sense. Yeah. I'm curious because two very different cultures you've been part of. And I'm curious how that impacted your philosophy as a marketer. How does it impact your mental models about how you think about marketing?
That's a really deep question. I would have to give that some thought. I don't know. I guess maybe other people have this experience too when they stay in a country for an extended period. I come from a place in the Midwest that's not very diverse. So before I visited another country, I took a lot of things for granted. Like I would certain human behavior that I would assume is just universal, that applies to all people. Certain things I took for granted. I realized we have certain thoughts because of the cultural environment. So I underestimated the power, the influence that culture has. And so I guess the whole nature versus nurture argument. I don't have any stats to prove this, but I suspect if you don't live in a very diverse area, you might lean more towards the nature argument. But once you experience other cultures and you see how flexible things are, you realize that how much your environment affects you. So I guess that's not specific to marketing, but I guess the short answer is I move more towards the nurture argument.
Yeah, that's such a good point because the base assumption, my intuition is we're all humans. We operate from a very similar model, which there's truth to it. But as soon as you discover other cultures, you come to a point where you're like, okay, there are massive differences that come from culture. And that's obviously going to trickle down into our behaviors. And I would agree with you. Exposition to diversity of people, it brings that in you. Okay, there's a bigger portion of nurtured that I would have thought. Yeah, that's a great answer. I agree with you.
It begs the question, what do we have in common, actually? Because there's so many differences.
Fundamental human needs. We're all built on the same genetic code that brings the brain to be, and our brains are similar in structure, and we've got basic human needs that are there, but all the building blocks that go on top of it can impact massively the way we consume different things. But at the end of the day, I'm curious. Marketing playbook in my mind is identify the market segments, understand the benefits they want. How do we position in a product according to that? I think that wouldn't change in some capacity.
We all want material stuff, which is great. But one thing you'll see if you read, whether it's like ancient literature, which is totally different from the movies we watch today. But isn't it true that the whole question, if you had $1 million, what would you do with it? Falling in love with the money and not what you're doing with the money is the easiest way to be unhappy. In fact, the only way to be happy is to know what you're going to do with all your shit. So consumerism, sometimes it gets a bad rap. Like capitalism is great, but it's up to human beings and their philosophy to know what happiness means and not get that mixed up. It's not the thing itself that makes you happy. It's like what you do with it. So nothing wrong with buying really nice clothes, but it's good to know, okay, what kind of value you're extracting from that. And I guess that's maybe in marketing what you call like a value proposition, because it seems like they're buying a product, but really in order for them to be satisfied with that purchase, they need to be satisfied with what they get out of that product. And that's how they feel about it when they're buying it. That's how they use it after the purchase. And really, let's say, did you ever buy something really nice and you later found out that you got ripped off? Even it doesn't matter how good that product is. Every time you look at it, it triggers some negative emotion. Bringing that all that philosophical thing back to ancient truths that apply to all humans, whether you're talking about marketing or any pursuit, it's about focusing on the value of something rather than just the thing itself.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that a lot. Some things we buy just for pure utility, right? Commodities fall into that category. But then when you go to brands and products that are part of our lifestyle, the reasons you buy go way beyond the idea of just pure utility. I agree with you there. And I'm curious. So this is a question about, I don't know, when was the last time you went to Korea?
A year ago.
Okay. I'm curious, what does media consumption look like in Korea? So Korea is becoming like a cultural export for the world too. Like K-pop is like in many ways, Seoul is becoming LA and it's driving massive cultural export. You see here in Montreal where I am, there's a lot of K-pop influence in how people dress and the fashion. And Korea has a massive impact on the world in terms of culture. And my question is, what does media consumption look like in Korea versus North America?
Growth Notes is brought to you by InBeat Agency, where performance meets creativity and influencer and paid media marketing. Propel your brand to new heights with our data-driven strategies. Visit InBeat.agency to elevate your digital marketing today.
It's weird. Some things seem more traditional and some things seem newer. Do you have cable TV at home?
I don't. No. No, I don't.
So there's a lot of people like you, right? Like cable cutters, yeah. You call them?
Yeah.
In my experience, you go to most households there, people still watch traditional TV where you flip.
Oh.
Again, this is through my own lens. Just looking at it. The news stations there, they're more like what you would expect 30 years in the past, where the people...
Really?
They're not like smiling or they don't smile and joke around. They just report the news, which is refreshing. And I know anywhere you go, things are political and they do have stations that lean a particular direction in terms of politics. But it's just refreshing to see just two news reporters sit there. I like that they're stiff, that they're not trying to be. That's what I was thinking before we got on this call. Should I try to say something funny? Probably not try, because you see these people on the news, they try to add something to the conversation to make it funny, but it's not. What I like about their news, they take their role seriously as you're supposed to report the news, not say stupid jokes. So that's just my something that I liked about that culture. So that seems like almost a blast from the past for me. But when I first arrived in Korea over 10 years ago, this was before smartphones became a thing. I was impressed to see people on the subway watching TV on their phone. So they
really?
Weren't, they weren't smartphones as we know them. But in that period, it was almost even more interesting of a time period because there was so much variety to the devices they were using. So you just walk onto the subway and then even to be like watching that media on the subway. Cause I know like in New York City, I always lose my internet connection on the subway. That's not the case in Korea. So people are just watching, sitting there on their phones. And it's been like that since before the smartphone. So I guess that's a good point to make. They already had that different media culture before smartphones were even around.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So that alternative media consumption on a handheld device has been there for longer than we've experienced it.
For sure. Again, I don't have the dates in front of me. They had their own social media platforms. One was called Cyworld. And this may have come out before Facebook, or when Facebook was still just had college students on it. So a lot of these things, they innovated first. And they have at least two major search engines. And something unique about the Korean market that I believe is different from Japan is they don't use Google except with YouTube. So they have their own really good search engines.
What is the search engine they use?
Naver.
That's Naver. The major
one. Daum, it was never as popular. It may not even be used that much anymore, but Naver is the big one.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's fascinating. And I've never played around with Naver. I actually think I'm going to do that because from my understanding, it looks like a super app. It looks like a super app that does a lot more than your typical, looks a lot less, lot more with bells and whistles just from the quick homepage there than Google
more
would
like
have.
Yahoo. If you go to
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yahoo, there was like the news there, all the different Yahoo services, and Google just like simplified.
So Naver.
Naver.
Naver, gotcha. And I know they use Kakao for messaging. Is that still a thing? I know we hosted a couple of Koreans years ago and they weren't on WhatsApp. They were using Kakao to...
Everyone uses Kakao and it's like a social issue. Like managers at company, they'll end up communicating on Kakao when they should be using Slack or email or whatever, because people are just so comfortable using it. And I believe Line is owned by Naver. Even though Line is not widely used in Korea, I believe it's widely used in Japan and Taiwan. Again, this is my knowledge of Korea like 4 years ago. Some of this stuff could be off.
I think Tencent owns a lot of these things. The Chinese mega company Tencent owns Kakao. I know they own that. And I don't know.
That must be because I believe Daum, a Korean company, may have owned that. But that would be weird if a Chinese company owned Kakao and then a Korean.
Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, I have no clue. Yeah, looks like it's not. Yeah, it looks like you're right. Let's see. But it looks like Tencent is an owner.
Is an owner of Kakao?
At like 6% of Kakao. Yeah, from what I see on Wikipedia. So they've got a portion of it. Yeah, it's so fascinating, right? To see how these apps are completely different. For me, like a world without Google, what does that look like? And there's other options, actually. And Naver is dominating there. And
Korea is unique because they use Google, especially on YouTube. I don't really know if the display network is a big thing over there. But yeah, they use a different chat. They have their own search engine. They still use Google Ads. They still use Meta. The Korean market uses some things that we're familiar with, some things we're not familiar with. And China is just like its whole universe.
Yeah, it is a whole different world, right? We've worked with brands from China and it goes beyond just the marketing. Even the business practices are extremely different. To do business with the Chinese is a very different game than doing business with American companies as a Canadian company. Yeah, it's just the whole thing is different. The cultural differences that you alluded to earlier are there. One question just for my personal interest that I have for you is, which brand would you study on the Korean market that's absolutely crushing it and dominating Korea from a digital standpoint?
Hyorum is one of them.
Yeah, Hyorum is good. Eh? They're really good on the Korean market. What is the market share for Hyorum in Korea?
Really high. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, really high.
Yeah.
Less competition over there.
Yeah.
But besides Hyorum, you probably know that there's all of the cosmetics.
Yeah.
Skincare.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And it comes back to the point where Korea is becoming a cultural export for the world. I'm curious. I would have to look at our exact numbers, but I'm well aware that we have, including Hyorum, and we have a lot of Korean beauty brands that are cracking into the US market. And we're doing a lot of marketing efforts for a lot of Korean brands. And it's just like Korea is ripe for export and for global domination in that sense. Hyorum is on that trend and they know it and they're playing that card really well. And Korea does things well and they're exporting to the rest of the world.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like when you saw something made in Germany before, it was almost like a stamp of quality for a lot of product categories now, like made in Korea.
Yeah, in the automaker industry, I'm not even sure. I would say that they're pairing Japan, if not surpassing Japan, just like by looking at the new models that Hyundai is coming out with. And Kia, they're crushing it. They have developed significant market shares on the global market, and it's a testament to them as a country. Brian, let's wrap right up here. Pleasure having you on the podcast. Fascinating discussions, and
hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
We will.
Okay.
Have a good one.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Growth Notes. You can find links to all the resources mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. If you're finding value in our podcast, please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. It really helps us reach more listeners like you. Don't miss out on any insights. Keep listening and growing with us.